Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's JD. Welcome back to a new episode of JD Radio. We're back again, y'all. We're back again for a new week. I'm trying to keep it consistent. Let's keep having some fun, shall we? I appreciate y'all for listening. Thank you so much. And to all the people who are watching and listening earlier on Patreon, thank you very much for checking that out. You all are really cool people. So to get started, let's do a mental health check-in. Let's get into it. How's my mental health going? My mental health is going pretty well. I actually had a fun little lunch with a friend of mine who I've met through the entertainment industry, and she introduced me to a friend of hers who's a therapist because she went out of her way to get her therapy or therapist license. Is that what you call it? I think so. And her friend is a therapist who focuses on solution and goals and manifestation and like problem solving. I never knew that was a part of therapy. I thought you just complain about what you've been through and work through that trauma and trials and tribulation. But yeah, they explained to me what it is he does. It was very interesting and eye-opening, to say the least, because I had never heard of anything like that before. And personally for me, I kind of said to myself, oh, well, maybe you and I can talk. Maybe you can help me manifest, you know, this career I got going and things, because, you know, it would be nice to maybe get a better idea of knowing what I'm doing and not being so confused from time to time about if I'm making the right decisions and whatnot. But very, very interesting people. I look forward to hopefully talking more with them and speaking about different things in this whole life. But I would say mentally, I'm doing pretty well. I hope you all are doing well. Let me know how you're feeling mentally down there in the comments, or leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That could always I stepped over my words just now, but it could always be helpful. Okay, we got a few weird things that have happened in the world. There's even more things happening on a daily, day-to-day basis. If you ever want to send me things that you want to hear me talk about, remember to send a voicemail if you have questions or a topic you want to hear about to the SpeakPipe link. It is linked in the top of my Linktree. Go to linktree.com/ JD Radio, and you can send messages there or send an anonymous message if you have any questions. All right, so let's get into these topics and see what's going on. Well, first things first, the WGA Writers Guild of America strike has tentatively come to what they say has been an end. It looks like the AMPM, too much good stuff. All right, it looks like the strike has ended, I suppose. That's what I'm hearing, the writer's strike at least, not actors. I'm an actor. I also write as well. I'm not a guild writer, but I have written things. But yeah, it looks like the writer's strike has ended, or it's ending. It's on the precipice of ending. And I'm curious to see what that looks like. Actually, let me pull up the information that I saw the WGA post the other day. Oh, here we go. Looks like Deadline wrote this. It's a deal. WGA and AMPTP. Oh, I thought something else. Reached tentative agreement to end the writer's strike. It says Deadline. Writers Guild has reached a tentative agreement with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers to end its strike after nearly 5 months. The parties finalized the framework of the deal Sunday when they were able to untangle their stalemate over AI and writing room staffing levels. It says, we have reached a tentative agreement on a new 2023 MBA, which is to say an agreement in principle on all deal points subject to drafting final contract language. The guild said this evening, just after sunset, that the start of your holiday may see the deadline wrap it up. 5 days, a long note of negotiated. Okay, cool. So yeah, I kind of skimmed a little bit. They said that it's wrapped up. A part of me is looking at that and saying, okay, well, we got writers back in the room. Now you got to get actors back in front of the cameras and on these stages And hopefully we as actors get a good deal as well. I'm not sure what we're going to get. But you know what I do think about? Because everyone's striking right now. They have the cars, manufacturers striking, hotels, all that jazz. Is there ever going to be a final deal that's good enough? Or do we do this for another 20, 30 years and then the deal is bad again? And then we end up doing like there, I feel like for unions, there's always this cycle of sign a good deal, enjoy the beginning, get to the middle, things are okay, things are deteriorating, inflation is happening, capitalism is changing the vibe, and now we need to renew. We need to change it again. I think that's just how contracts work. I, as someone who works on a lot of contracts, yeah, you definitely get to a point where it's like, hey, we're in a completely different space now. It would be nice if I could get compensated fairly. So I'm curious to know if this deal is exactly as they say. Well, I'm sure they say it is what they as they say it is. I'm sure it's going to be good according to the WGA. But I wonder if it's so good that we, I don't know, are in a place where we just kind of, I don't know. I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say. I think what I'm saying in my head is, I'm curious to know how well is well enough. Will this be good enough for the next 20, 30, 40 years? 100? I mean, I don't know. A lot of us writers and actors probably won't be here for another 140 years. So I'm personally curious to know this. And also as an actor for the Screen Actors Guild, because, you know, the whole thing was about AI and writing rooms and all that jazz. Same goes for actors. Are you going to negotiate with us so that we don't have to deal with AI or be conflicted to work because you want to copy and paste so many people and then put them in movies? I hope it's all a win-win. I hope there's no L's on the sides of the unions because I'm a part of them. But I don't know. I feel like at the end of the day, producers and networks and studios are always going to put their interests first. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just trying to be realistic. Like, they wouldn't have said yes to a deal that doesn't benefit them. So I'm wondering what that looks like. I guess we got to wait and find out. So this next topic actually lives in the realm of podcasting. We're going to talk about how Cast Media, which is a podcasting distributor, has been ripping off the podcasts that are under their umbrella of shows that they have. The first person who I saw mention this was Theo Von, very hilarious comedian and podcast host. He was talking about how at the top of the food chain for this podcasting company that he is signed with, his show is signed with, I don't know if it's signed there anymore, he was working with a bunch of people at this company, Cast Media, and the head of Cast Media, whose name I don't know off the top of my head, it's Christopher or something. Let me see. Cast Media. Oh, Colin Thompson. Sorry. Colin Thompson. It seems that they were, skimming off the top of their creators and offering deals that they didn't have the money to back, which is kind of crazy. I was actually considering reaching out to Cast Media, thank goodness I didn't, about some of the stuff that I do. But I mean, my podcasts don't garner enough viewership yet, so in the future, and on listenership yet. So we'll see what happens in the future. But I mean, it wouldn't be with them. I would probably go somewhere else. There's a bunch of different podcasting networks. For those that don't know, when you podcast, when you create content online, when you act, when you do stand-up, when you write, there are sometimes the opportunity to partner with or be represented by a agency or a network or a company, I guess you would say. Like me, as an actor, I'm represented by United Talent agency, which is one of the biggest agencies out there, along with Creative Artists Agency, CAA, Gersh, William Morris Endeavor. There's a bunch of them. Innovative Artists, you know, they represent artists and they kind of help you be the middleman between you and getting a job in Hollywood. Now, when it comes to podcasting agencies or podcasting networks, there are the Cast Medias of the world. There's Podco. There's, I think iHeartRadio has their own podcasting division. Sirius XM now has a podcasting division. So they are also the middle men and women who try to get you, for podcasting, sponsorships. So according to Theo Von, it sounds like he was getting sponsorships sent to him all the time by Cast Media and these people who were, you know, managing his podcast. But every time he did an ad read, imagine if we were doing a podcast ad read and I get on here and I'm like, hey guys, so this podcast is brought to you by the Pillow Cube. Oh man, you like pillows? God dang, I love me pillow. I love a good pillow too. But have you ever tried the Pillow Cube? It's like a cube for your head. You know, I don't know. But all those ad reads cost money, and those advertisers are specifically asking you to promote their product on your show. So every time he would do an ad read, he was expecting to get paid the full amount of what they agreed upon. And according to him, they were not sending over the payments in a consistent timeline. And then at a certain point, they realized that a portion of the payment that should have been sent to them was being taken from their check. So let's say they, you know, Theo Von, I assume if he's getting an ad read to read something for like Pillow Cube, it's like, hey, here's $5,000. Please talk about our pillow on your podcast and we will give you said money. Now, usually there's a percentage fee that you would give your representatives. Like, you know, if I book a job with my talent agency, they receive 10% of the job that I am working on. So if I work on a TV show, they'll get 10% of all the checks that I get sent to me. And I you know, some people let their agencies take more. I think there might be some very rare situations where they take less, if not zero. I don't know of anybody who takes zero. I think that's the whole point of you having a manager. It's like, all right, manager or agent, they represent you. They do all the like kind of groundwork to get you in the door, and they handle all the stuff behind the scenes so you can be free to just be creative. So yeah, that 10% is the base minimum. If anybody tells you anything else, don't do it. Don't do these 20%, 30%, 60-40s. 10%. That's it. You get 90, they get 10. But it looks like this company was taking a lot more than just that. And a lot of the money, according to people from Cast Media, are saying that Colin Thompson, the CEO, was buying expensive, fancy, luxury items. Like, he built a house in Hawaii or something with this money. He also would be doing extravagant trips and living his best life, but then not paying out to the people who the money belongs to. Very scummy stuff, yeah. But that's Hollywood, baby. That's Hollywood. That's entertainment. Who can get ripped off faster? I hate to say that, but I mean, I genuinely feel that way. I feel like a part of Hollywood is like, hey, can I rip you off before you rip me off? Like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it feels real. It feels like a part of the machine that is entertainment. It's like, yo, let me rip you off one time. You know, not everyone does that. It's great that not everyone does it, but it happens a lot. I even have a friend who was at Cast Media who wasn't, you know, Theo Von's level of popular, but I asked them if they had been taken advantage of, and they said, oh yeah, no, we lost like 60 grand. And I'm like, dang, that's a lot of money to just have disappear. That's not a normal amount of money to just kind of up and leave, in my opinion. You know, and Theo Von said that it's up to like $1.4 million across the entire network that had gotten taken out. Whew, that's just mind boggling. That sucks. You know, that's really frustrating. And I think for Theo himself, he said his podcast probably lost like 400,000. Ooh, where's the money? What do you mean lost? Lost money don't just disappear. Unless you're the government. No, I'm just kidding. All right, well, yeah, those are my thoughts on this particular topic. Now, this is just a stupid story that happened. Honestly, it happened about almost a week or 2 weeks ago, but it's, I just wanted to talk about it. For some reason, they found aliens in Mexico. And the aliens in Mexico, they look like aliens that look like props from the set of Men in Black 4, which I don't think ever happened, or maybe it did happen. Maybe it did, but man, I guess they're saying that these aliens, and they have, I'm looking at the video just so I know what I'm talking about. It says Mexican doctors have carried out tests on the remains of the alleged non-human beings, and they look like Halloween. I'm trying not to be disrespectful. They look like Halloween statues. The supposed bodies. Hold on, I'm reading this real quick. This just makes me laugh, y'all. All right, it says the supposed bodies of the extraterrestrials were presented recently to Mexico's Congress. And they actually took them under real x-rays and said that they had, you know, readouts. They said there was something inside. These are real, y'all. They're just picking up these fake, I mean, they look a little too spot on with what an alien would look like. And they're so thin and funny looking. Oh, man. It's a matter of science, not belief. They could be real and open-minded. Oh, man. I don't know. Let me know. I don't have a lot for this one. Aliens in Mexico? Sure. Yeah. I mean, Earth is Earth. Aliens ain't racist, right? They come down wherever they want to lay down. I just don't know if it's legit. And if it is legit, I think it's weird that they just have all this information and footage and x-rays and all that. But I think it's weird because it's like, oh, what, all of a sudden? These Mexican aliens, where they at? I'm just kidding. They're not Mexican aliens. That's me being jokey. But yeah, I was looking at videos and footage just now. It seems interesting. I don't know where I lean on this one. I think it's possible aliens are real. Sure. There's a lot of things I can't explain here in the world, you know? But at the same time, they didn't put up a fight or anything. The aliens look stiff, too. They look like they got hit with a photon beam. They were like, huh? They got hit with the Men in Black that Will Smith uses when he needs to wipe your mind, your memory. Yeah. Aliens, baby. What is it? We come in peace. Sorry. So now we're back again with more accusations. This time they come at the expense of Russell Brand, the British bruv who's always talking like this. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm just a whippy little snippet, all right? You know Russell Brand. Isn't it? He's a comedic actor, I guess. That's what I think Russell Brand was and or is. For the longest amount of time in his career. And let's see, Russell Brand, comedian and actor. Russell Brand is a English writer, actor, presenter, comedian. Brand has also been a public activist, is his newer thing, and campaigner. Known for his flamboyant, loquacious style and manner, Brand has received 3 British Comedy Awards and nominations for BAFTA. After beginning his career as a comedian and later becoming an MTV presenter in the UK in 2004, he's gained a role as a host of television show Big Brother, Big Brother's Big Mouth, Big Brother spinoff, 48 years old. Yeah, he came under fire because there were some R-word allegations, stuff from his previous career. Some woman said that he sexually assaulted her in his house. Some other people said that it happened in the early 2000s between 2006 to 2014. And it's just gross, yo. I mean, you know, believe victims. I would hate if it wasn't true. But I mean, it feels like such a weird thing to make up, you know. Whenever people try to say Obviously, you want to wait for all the facts, but at the end of the day, I don't know anybody who just says something like that for no reason, you know? Even like with all the women who came against Bill Cosby, you know, they felt empowered to say it. It's not like all of a sudden they were just like on the moon of February 2019, we will come down and create this Me Too movement. No, that's, you know, I think that's very disrespectful to not respect someone who put themselves out there to let people know, like, hey, this is a terrible person. I'm someone who is a victim of this person, and I think everyone should know about this. And I guess Russell Brand is in that same boat. He's obviously denied it, negated it, said that it's absolutely ridiculous. But at the same time, so did what's his name? Masterson. I forgot his first name. Jimmy. We talked about him on the last episode, but you know, from That 70s Show, and that went through. It was legitimate. People, you know, to bring this up 20 something years, 30, 15 years, 10 years, 5, whatever, it takes a lot of courage to even like have the strength to have that voice to speak up. And no disrespect, Russell Brand seems kind of, you know, I don't know him personally, so let me not put my personal opinion on him. But even he has said that he has been outwardly provocative and sexual being. I don't know how to do the accent. Listen, mate, I'm just a sexual, very, you're Randy, baby. Very Austin Powers, but way hornier, it seems. And, you know, now he's catching hell. But he's always been somewhat of a, I don't know if he's left-leaning, right-leaning. I don't know. I don't really care about politics. It's so stupid, you know. I mean, politics aren't necessarily stupid, but the motives behind each group making, just taking like jabs at each other when it would be better if we all could come together and figure something out. That's how I see it. Obviously, that's not how it works because everybody has a difference of opinion. But I know that he sometimes dives into conspiracy theories and I sit back and I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? I don't know, whatever. but, you know, he's going to deny it because what do you do if you get called out on something like that? I assume you try to do the best PR damage you can so that you can continue to live a life that works out for you. I honestly hate that these topics even exist because I know that in my opinion they can trigger a lot of people. So my opinion is, Russell Brand is scummy boy. Scummy dude. Sounds scummy. And believe victims. And we will touch base on this maybe in the future after it goes to court. But right now it's in the court of public opinion. And if it's true, gross. If they're lying, that's very upsetting and sad that you would think that you need to stoop to that level. But I'm not going to assume that's something that's happening. I can't imagine you holding in something like that for years and then randomly, you know, coming out just so you could get I don't know what you want from it. Payday, maybe something. I'm not sure. I'm going to side with victims more or less 9 times out of 10. So there's that, you know, those are my thoughts. All right, y'all. So this story that I don't know how to feel about this because I am a comedian myself. And if you may or may not have heard, Hasan Minhaj or Hasan, how do I say his name? Hasan Minhaj. Or no, Hasan Minhaj. Yeah, I got that right. All right, 3, 2, 1, action. Okay. All right, y'all, so this story, I don't know how to feel about because I'm a comedian myself. I tell jokes. I do stand-up. You've seen it. This one comes from Hasan Minhaj, who has been exposed, I guess, because he has been telling fabrications in his stand-up comedy specials that are embellishments. Oh, he calls them emotional truths, but they're not necessarily meant for the joke to land. They're actually just fabrications on stories that he says really happened to him. And he wants kind of the crowd to sympathize and empathize with him about. Now, as a stand-up comedian, yes, okay, do we exaggerate things? Sure. I got a joke or two about, like, you know, my family and things. I talk about things from perspectives of how I think they could be funnier. But if I'm telling a real story, I might embellish maybe the words that are being used, but I don't change the story at all. Like, I have a joke that I do in my stand-up set, and if you watch me on Patreon, you may or may not have seen it, where I talk about walking in on my dad looking at corn, aka porn. and it was real. I walked in on him looking at, like, you know, nudie videos. You know, it wasn't like hardcore. It was just like titties. It was some random ass titties. I was like, whoa, what you doing in here? And he, I think I might embellish on some of the words he said, but the gist of it was very funny. He was like, brother, what the hell you mean? I'm a grown-ass man. I'm going to look at these titties all I want. You basically a whole just of that. But for Hassan, it seems that he has been, like, the way he's been low-key lying or emotional truthing or fabricating his stories are almost for his audience to feel more, like, is the word sad? Is it emotionally attached? It's strange, in my opinion, the way that he's taking these stories and mixing them up. So let me give you a breakdown of some of the stories. So in one of his comedy specials, he talks about how he, you know, was what was the first one that I saw? Oh, this one's actually kind of intense. He has a joke. And his comedy is actually, let me get to talk about his comedy if you haven't seen his stand-up comedy. He is a stand-up comedian. I've met him once or twice, I believe, and I know that he was on The Daily Show, and then he had Patriot Act, and he had a whole other lot of work. He's a very funny dude. I think he's funny. I love his work. It is weird now hearing that some of these stories that he told aren't real because of the way he was selling them. He was selling them like, yo, this happened to me, y'all, and it's hilarious, but it's truthful. And it should impact you in this type of way. One of those stories was the fact that he was making jokes about a government. I don't know if it was Saudi Arabia or somewhere else. I apologize for not having this information. But it was about how his jokes have real life consequences. And he was talking about somewhat of a dictatorship or a one-sided rule in a different country on his show Patriot Act. And then he said that he received a letter in the mail. And inside the letter, he said it had anthrax. And then he said the anthrax actually accidentally spilled onto his daughter, who he then had to rush to the hospital to get checked to make sure that she wasn't, you know, a victim of a bioweapon attack, I guess. Now, I heard that. I watched both. I think I've watched all three of his specials. He has Homecoming King, King's Jester or something, and something else. Three things around the word king. Maybe one other one that I'm not remembering, but I definitely have seen all three of his comedy specials, and I liked all of them. But it is weird, I will be honest, it is weird to now hear that a majority of these stories are not real. So it was false, because I guess the Hollywood Reporter went out of their way to look up some of these instances he mentioned, and police in wherever he was living said, oh yeah, there's never been an anthrax attack. Like, not that never happened, more that it didn't happen to Hassan and it wasn't something ever reported on. So that's, you know, one story falsified. Then there's another story about him where he said that there was an FBI informant called Brother Eric who infiltrated his family's mosque in Sacramento, California, in order to work against the war on terror, because, you know, after 2001, 9/11, he was saying that there was, like, FBI informants who were, like, regular-ass white dudes trying to join the mosques and these different religious groups just so that they could fit in and see if they could stop terrorism before it starts, which, you know, at the end of the day, obviously we're aware of who executed those terrible things on 9/11. But it is racist to think that, like, oh, everybody gonna do it now. They're all coming for us. So he wrote this, he told this whole joke, this whole story is a long story too. I'm trying to think, bro. These were long ass jokes. They were funny. And I'm thinking about it from a comic standpoint. Like, you didn't pitch them like they were just like exaggerated. You pitched them like these were real ass moments that happened to you. And he was saying in the end of the story that this guy who was a reformed FBI agent who did work in counterterrorism, he said him by name, but then the guy said years later after watching this special, he's like, I don't know who Hasan Minhaj, what are we talking about? But he did say that he did do his work in Los Angeles. So it's almost like Hasan takes these stories that kind of revolve around his life, and then he, according to him, creates an emotional truth to how it could have affected him, and then he makes a joke out of it. Now, it's not like you can't make a joke out of things like this, but it's weird to act like they are fact. You know, that's kind of weird. And you're putting people's names in there and all that stuff. That, like I've got some really weird stories, but they are like genuinely true. Like, I have a story about like me and Cat Williams always almost getting into a fight. I've made a whole video about it on my gaming channel, because I did a story time about it. But it was real. There, none of it was fabricated. All of it was real. As ridiculous and exaggerated as it sounded, it all was real from beginning to end. So, like, for me to add extras to it seems unnecessary. I have a story about me and my dad, me meeting Beyonce, and it was real from beginning to end, you know? And, yeah, I don't know. It's weird as a comedian to... Like, you can fabricate, it's more like you fabricate the parts that are meant to be funny. You fabricate the parts that, like, oh, this would get a bigger laugh if I kind of change these words up. Not, oh, if I emotionally encapsulate my audience, they'll feel bad for me, so this story will hit harder. You know? I don't know. Something about that is weird to me. And there was, I think, a few other storylines, and I think the main one that comes up now that this whole article has come out from Hollywood Reporter is the fact that he was rejected by this white girl in high school when he wanted to go to prom, and he made it a whole scenario about how he was rejected because of his race, which the girl recently has said, like, yo, I like, he tries to say that he first off even went with her to prom. It never even happened. He was saying that when he got to the door, another guy was there because her family doesn't want her taking photos with a brown boy for prom, and they have to have those photos forever. She comes back and says, I never even went to prom with this dude. I blew him off a few days before prom, which it could have been for those same reasons. We could say that, yeah, definitely it could have been racially related, but she then mentions the fact that, does he know that I'm married to an Indian American man now? So it just looks weird. It's like you lied for sympathy points from the audience. I don't know how else to picture it, but like, I was like, those are weird things to say didn't happen. Or those are weird things to say did happen, and now, like, however many years later, people are saying, like, bruh, I was there. It did not happen. I'm not sure. I mean, if I'm telling a joke, when I write a joke, I'm usually either going completely, over the top with, like, a fake idea, or, which is fine, because then everyone there knows that, like, oh, this is just, like, you usually start a conversation as a comedian, not a conversation, you usually start a joke from the perspective of, like, oh, man, what if this happened? What if that happened? Could you imagine this happening? And then you start to dive into a fake, you know, fictional scenario and comedy joke about, like, yeah, that would be crazy. Obviously, it didn't happen, but imagine if it happened. Not like, oh, man. When I, you know, like, if I made a story about losing my dad or growing up with my dad or even like losing him, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, before I spoke to my dad, the last thing he told me was something like just so heart wrenching, and he, you know, we weren't on the best of terms. I'd be like I don't know why I would do that. That would be a weird thing to do. obviously he's not here to speak for himself and nobody else would probably know about it, but it would be weird. I'd be like, no, the last conversation I had with my dad was me and him roasting my mom. we were clowning her goofy ass. So I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. It's a weird embellishment of the emotional truth. I don't know. I don't think that's a good way to kind of stand on lying on your daughter catching anthrax. That's a crazy one to me. I can't believe that one's not real. That's the one that I said, yo, he lied about the anthrax story. I recommend you go watch his specials. They are really good comedy specials. And I mean, you know, now you know there's some fabrication there, but I liked them. I thought they were funny. I thought they were funny because I thought they were real. But now that they're not, I don't know. Okay, y'all, last but not least, we got a story about live streaming. We're not on my gaming channel, but this is like top news right now. So you all have heard of the website Kick, kick.com, Run JD Run. I'm on there. I don't know how much longer I can stay because of how bad the PR is, but they have been allowing some very toxic content on there. And speaking of which, two of their biggest, well, I don't even know if they're their biggest, but some of their biggest content creators are IRL streamers. For those that don't know, IRL is in real life streaming. It means you're just out and about living your life and you're live while it's happening. I do a few of those. I do them on Twitch, twitch.tv, Run JD Run. Come check me out. Sometimes I IRL stream my stand-up comedy shows when I have to drive over to them and then perform. So if you want to come watch a live comedy show, you can come and hang out, all right? But there's a lot of perpetrators on the platform, Kick, and also Kick is very like lenient, is the word lenient? They don't come down on their creators for making content that is morally bad, you know? So we got this dude, Ice Poseidon, who he's in the thick of it all. And then there's another one, Johnny Somali. Let's start with Johnny. This is some kid who, I don't know why he does this, and it really is so weird. He goes out of his way to go to other countries and just cause a ruckus. A la Logan Paul in 2016, 2017. You know, he is in Japan specifically saying disrespectful things about the country, bringing up, you know, Hiroshima, the bomb that was dropped on them from Oppenheimer and Nagasaki and all these terrible, like, cultural moments that they've had. He will just genuinely is the word harass. He harasses people. He goes out there. He harasses people. He trespasses on property. He talks crap. He has gotten smacked up multiple times because of it. And he has been, you know, targeted by the Yakuza. He has been put on camera to apologize to the country of Japan. He has also been slept about 3 different times from what I've seen. I've seen him get punched in the face. I've seen him get choked out, and I've seen other things. But he does not care because he is here for the clout. He has said it in multiple interviews. He said, oh, bro, I'm about the clout. I don't care about nothing else. He's like, either y'all going to ban me or someone's going to kill me. That's the only way I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. Anything for clout. Unfortunately, recently he trespassed on a construction site, and when he trespassed onto the site, he was then targeted later in the day by police in Japan, which honestly, this is like 3 months coming now. He's been terrorizing them for a whole few months, and he's been made like national news in Japan. It's been pretty bad, but he has been finally targeted by them and taken into custody, and he is now facing up to 3 years in prison for his documented. That's another thing. I don't understand people who will document committing a crime. Do y'all not think that people are, it's forever once you put it out here. It's forever. And I guess it just didn't bother him. And now he's being held in, I believe, some sort of holding facility in Japan and may or may not go to prison, which honestly, I think he needs to learn that lesson. I mean, I would hate to see the boy be in there for 3 years, but at the end of the day, I'm not surprised, nor do I feel bad. I feel like my brain's just saying, like, bro, 3 years in prison for just goofing on the internet for a few thousand views. You're not even making good money. If he was even if he was making good money, it's not worth it. But bro, I need you to, I need at least bringing in like some big ass, like get the money and get out of the country. But yeah, he is one of the two problems that is happening out there. There's probably even more, but the next person we're going to finish off with is Ice Poseidon. This dude has been toxic and just a walking piece of drama for years. He's been banned off of YouTube. He's been banned off of Twitch. Kick has been open arms and letting him do his thing, but his content is just weird and creepy. He also works with Sam Pepper, and I don't really know much outside of the fact that all these dudes are just scummy. This is how they have no real talent. They have no real skill. The only thing that they've ever seen success with is if I can be the biggest scumbag, then I can garner an audience. So you got these kids or adults. They're not kids. They're like 30 something year old men just harassing and bothering people. And Ice Poseidon and Sam Pepper were doing just weird, I don't even know how to explain this content. They were inviting escorts over to their apartment, and then they found a fan of their own, and they were in Australia, by the way. This is in Japan. They were in Australia, but they invited the escort over to the fan's apartment, which they were also at. They're in a room adjacent to where this fan is. This fan is more or less going to possibly, you know, have relations with this escort. But at the same time, for some reason, they thought it was the greatest idea to record, not even record, live stream to thousands. I'm talking about like 20, 30,000 people. Live stream the interaction between the fan and the escort leading up to the possible consensual sex. Now, if you've ever been on a porn site, it's the part that you usually skip. But at a certain point, this escort got a text message from a person who was a friend of hers saying, "Hey, I don't think you realize what's going on," because she did agree to be on camera and she agreed that they could do whatever they want with the footage. But her friend sent her a message saying, "I don't think you realize that you're being live streamed in front of like 30,000 people right now and people are watching you talk to this weirdo, and you are, you know, for lack of a better term, you're it almost felt like live sex trafficking. It felt very, very like just nasty, you know." At that point, she gets up and says, "What's this about us being on a thing and there's thousands of people and blah, blah, blah?" And she makes her way out the door. But then the fan, who's got a goddamn hard on, which is even weirder, tries to block the door and stop her from leaving. Now you getting trapped. Now you getting, what's going on here, yo? He didn't want her to leave because he had paid her $500, or I think Ice Poseidon or something like that, you know, had paid $500 for her services. And she finally left. It's all over. But it's just the fact that this platform allows this type of really weird content on their platform, because that's not a normal live stream. I don't know who thinks it's funny to, like, first off, escorts are going through a really hard time. If you're a sex worker, and not all sex workers are going through a hard time, but you don't know what they're going through. I think that's what I meant to say. You don't know what they're going through. And for you to try to publicize it and turn it into some sort of like content piece for your own entertainment to like watch someone who may or may not be struggling through their life in a high or low moment, but then try to monetize and incentivize people to watch it with you and create content out of it, is gross, yo. That would be like going out and live streaming homeless people. It's not the same, obviously, homeless people and sex workers, but I'm saying you're live streaming people who are being vulnerable. That's what I'm trying to say. And, you know, at a certain point, it stopped. Ice Poseidon, the dude, Sam Pepper, come in and tell dude, yo, you cannot stop them from leaving. If they want to leave, let them leave. It ain't your money anyway. It's my money. I'll spend it however I want. But it's just the fact that this platform Kick is allowing weird shit like this to even happen. And one of the co-owners of the platform was in the comments, the chat, while this was happening, LOLing. Dude, come on, bro. That's weird, man. Y'all are weird. These are a bunch of goddamn incel babies, bro. A bunch of incel boys who never learned how to communicate with women or communicate with society, trying to make these weird ass pieces of content now and post them on the internet like this is normal shit. It's weird, yo. It's weird. It's weird. in my opinion, it's very strange, it's very weird, and it's very traumatizing and vile. That was the word I was looking for earlier. Yes. So I don't recommend you checking out that type of content, but I guess Kick is catching hell because they have not really sat back and said, yes, we don't condone this content, and we are going to moderate our platform and blah, blah, blah. They kind of just said, the streaming space is a crazy place, y'all. We don't know how far this can go. They made like a statement that was really bad and made them look like they don't give a shit. They're like, hey, ain't nothing illegal happened, so we ain't tripping. So y'all keep complaining as you want, but we ain't doing shit about that. And Ice Poseidon, even worse, he got on, I saw this the other day, he got into a Twitter Spaces, which is like the audio platform where you can chat with people. And he got in there and tried to do a public apology. And halfway through the apology, he was like, yo, I just want to say sorry for, making everybody feel uncomfortable and da da da. And then he was like, nah, just kidding. Fuck that. Fuck you. Fuck everybody. he said, just kidding. You Twitter losers who are sad about this whole thing. Y'all can eat a dick. Like, yo, it was savage as hell. I got to be honest. It was mad savage, but it was still so disrespectful and just like so lacking any humanity. I don't know. But these are the influencers of the world. And this is what this is the influence they are having on the youth, whoever's watching this. It's sad, man. It's really sad to say. But yeah, let me know what you think about some of these topics, because I don't have words for some of this. All right, y'all, and with that, that's the end of this new episode of JD Radio. Thank you so much for watching. We don't have any questions this week. We didn't get any, so do me a favor. Send me a voicemail. Send me an anonymous message. Send me something so I can work and communicate with you all. I would love to do that. I appreciate you watching, though. Thanks again. Remember, if you want to see these videos early, check them out on Patreon. Or, I got other stuff. YouTube memberships on my gaming channel. YouTube memberships here for when I start doing interviews with people. Let me know if that's something you're interested in or not interested in. I actually could use the feedback. All right. I will see you all on the next one. Thanks again. Have a great day. Peace.